Shlishi, the third reading of Parshas Vayera. Back to the narrative, as we say, back to the original story. After having interrupted with a discussion of the lineage of Moshe Rabbeinu, which, as we explained in yesterday's class, really makes the case for how Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were able to accomplish what they did, the Torah now says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer, chapter 6, verse 29, God speaks to Moshe saying, and he says, Ani Hashem, I'm God. Dabed al pare melech Mitzrayim, speak to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Es kol asher ani dover elecha. All of the things that I'm going to tell you. Rashi says that this Vayidaber Hashem is not a new communication, but rather, hu hadibur atzmoy ha'omer l'mayla. This is what we discussed already in verse 11. So if you turn back to prior to Moshe v'Aaron, having their lineage discussed. If you go back to verse 11, God said, "Boy, daber al pare melech Mitzrayim, go speak to the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, v'yishalach b'nei Yisrael me'artzei, and he should send the children of Israel out of his land." And what was Moshe Rabbeinu's response? Take a look at verse 12. "Vaydaber Moshe lefnei Hashem." Moshe speaks before God, and he says, "Heim b'nei Yisrael l'shamu elai." The Jewish people don't even listen to me. How's Pharaoh going to listen to me? My lips are sealed. And the next pasuk says, God spoke to Moshe and Aaron. He instructed them with regard to the children of Israel and with regard to the Pharaoh to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. That was where we left off the story previously in the end of the first reading. And then we interrupted. We said, this is the lineage. This is the houses of Israel. We went to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, down to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now, Rashi says, we're picking it up here in verse 29. The third reading picks up where we left off after the first reading. There it says, Boy Dabed al Pare. So when the Torah says here, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer, when God spoke to Moshe saying, Ani Hashem Dabed al Pare, this is not a new communication, but rather it's a continuation. This is what we read earlier, Boy Dabed al Pare Melech Mitzrayim. So why are we repeating it? That's the obvious question. If it's the same thing, so why is the Torah saying this, the same thing all over again? And Rashi's response is, Elo mitoich shehifseka inyan, since there was an interruption, and we had this business of the lineage, the Eilu Rashi Beis HaVesom, so kedei liyachasam chazer olav. In order now to create the lineage, we went back and said, okay, let's go back, let's talk about that lineage, and then now we're going back to the original story, Lahaskalbay, as if to start it all over again. Ani Hashem, I am God. Why does God have to tell Moshe he's God? He has a complex. He has to keep reiterating the same thing. I'm God. So Rashi says, Kedai ani l'shalchacha, I am suitable, so to speak, worthy to send you. Ulekayim divrei shlichusi, my mission is worthy of being fulfilled. In other words, like a person could say, can you do this? You're sending me on a mission, but can this even happen? A person says, I'm capable. Don't worry, God says, I'm God. If I'm sending you, you can do this. All right? So that's what God said to Moshe. And really, this is a recapitulation of what Moshe Rabbeinu listened and heard from Hashem. Comes verse 30. Vayemer Moshe lefnei Hashem. Moshe says before God, Hei nani aral sfosayim. I am of sealed lips. How will the Pharaoh listen to me? So Rashi says, I know. Now what you think? You think you heard this already? You're right. This is not new. This is not something different that Moshe Rabbeinu said, just as it's not something different that God said. The Torah repeats what God said to Moshe, and now the Torah repeats what Moshe Rabbeinu responded. He ha'amido sha'omer l'mayla. This is the very same thing Moshe said before. He said earlier in verse 12, in a little more, the Torah articulates it a little fuller, and it says, Hein b'nei Yisrael l'shamu elai. The Jewish people won't listen to me. And then, how will the Pharaoh? Which Rashi there comments is one of the Yud Aleph, one of the 11 times, we have a Kal v'chomer, an Eifiorti method of argument, in which you present a heavier and a lighter situation, and if the situation applies in the lighter or less onerous, less pressure cooking situation, you understand for sure that the same thing would apply to a much harsher, a much more difficult, a much heavier and weightier situation. At any rate, here the Torah doesn't repeat that. But nonetheless, the Torah does repeat the point of Moshe, which is, Hein ani aras v'soyim, my lips are sealed. Shana HaKosef Khan, the Torah repeats it here again. And the reason the Torah repeats it, Rashi says, as previously, is Kivan Shehifsik HaInyan, since there was an interruption with the business of lineage, which, as we explained yesterday, was so important and critical for us to know. V'kach hi hashita. This is the approach. This is the approach. The way, if you want to understand these verses in a word, Ka'odam ha'imer nachzer al-shenis. Let's get back to what we're talking about. Okay, let's recap. Because before we go forward, let's make sure we know what we're talking about. We're on the same page. We'll recap, and after we recap, then we can move forward. And what's God's response to Moshe? Vayomer Hashem, this response we didn't get previously. If you take back a look in verse 11, it just says, God spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and he commanded them, he instructed them with regard to Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and he doesn't really answer the question. In verse 12, Moshe Rabbeinu asked a question, and he made an argument. He said, it's not going to work. Even the Jewish people aren't listening to me. You think the Pharaoh's going to listen to me? It's not logical. So the Torah doesn't really record a cogent answer. God doesn't say to Moshe, well, you know, I hear your argument, but here's the strategy. Just says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron v'yitzavim. He commanded them. What did he say? We don't know. So here, where the conversation is being recapitulated, here we get clarity as to what God exactly said to Moshe. God said to Moshe, and this is the beginning of the seventh chapter, but don't pay attention to that. That's just people didn't understand the Chumash divided the chapters up and stuff. So, Vayemer Hashem Moshe, God says to Moshe, Re'ei nesaticha elehim lefarei, I make you a god, a lord for the Pharaoh. Va'arei nochicha yiyah nevi'echa, and Aaron will be your prophet. So how will that work? Very simple. Ato sedaber es kol asher atzaveka. You will speak all that I will instruct you. And then Aaron will actually communicate to the Pharaoh. You'll speak. Who will you be speaking to? Nobody. You'll be speaking to Pharaoh, but like you basically be speaking to the walls. He's not going to hear what you're saying. Because you're going to be saying what you heard from me. And God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Hebrew tongue. So Moshe Rabbeinu would speak in the Hebrew tongue to the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh, well, the Pharaoh would hear, but not really listen. Because he wasn't being spoken to, he was being spoken at. And then Aaron would come. And Aaron HaKohen, Aaron the brother of Moshe, would yedaber el pare. He would actually speak to the Pharaoh. He would communicate to the Pharaoh, say, okay, Pharaoh, here's what we're trying to tell you. And the Pharaoh would then have to hear the words of Aaron. And Rashi says, v'shilach es bnei Yisrael, the Torah says, v'shilach es bnei Yisrael me'artzei, and then he will send the children of Israel from his land. But don't get too excited. Not so fast. Vani akshe. Slave Paroi, but God warns Moshe, I'm going to make his heart very hard, and his heart that will be very hard. I will increase my miracles, my wonders in the land of Egypt. And the Torah warns again, don't have any expectations. I'm telling you to begin with, he will not listen to you. I will place my hand in Egypt. I will take out my hosts, my arrangements, my armies, my nation, this army. Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, b'shvatim gedolim, with great and wondrous miracles. And the Torah goes on to say, v'yodu Mitzrayim. When this process is complete, Egypt will know. Oh, will they know? Ki'ani Hashem, that I am God. B'ntoisiyas yodi al Mitzrayim, as I raise my hand over Egypt, v'yitzeisiyas bnei Yisrael mitaychom. So what happens? The Torah goes on to say, Moshe does exactly what he's told. Let's take a look here in the Rashi, in Parsha, in Pasuk Aleph. Nasaticha elehim lefarei. That's a strange way to speak. We just hear to dismantle idolatry, and now Moses becomes a god? So Rashi says, it does not mean a god. A lord is not a god, even though we sometimes speak to our Lord God. But elikus here means lordship, shefet, a judge. You will be the one to dominate the Pharaoh. You will control him. He will be powerless. You will overpower him. That's the meaning of you will be overwhelming. And when he'll be overwhelmed by you, then your brother Aaron will step into the role of being the prophet. What does the Targum say? It's been a prophet. And how can Aaron be a prophet if Moses is not a god? The prophet is... But a god gets. Gods have prophets, right? Or God has a prophet. So Rashi says, in the Targum, it says, Metugam Monach. He will explain it. He'll explain it.
Kind of tzimtzum.
Well, we'll talk about this soon. But how's that worse if it's a tzimtzum? But yeah, you could say it's a kind of tzimtzum, a kind of diminishing. So the Pharaoh should be able to hear it and listen to it. And Rashi says, your truth is, you must be scratching your head and say, well, I don't get this. Torah uses such strange language here. Moshe is a god, and I thought that was maybe a lord, but then no, Aaron's going to be a prophet. So yeah, he is a god. He says, no, he's not a god. It's just it's an interpreter. It's a spokesperson. It's somebody who's able to speak the language to be able to communicate. So Rashi says, this is not actually as strange as you think it is, because v'chein kol lashon nevuah, whenever we have the language, whenever we have the syntax, the verbiage of prophecy in Hebrew, it really just means adam ha-machriz u'mashmi'a lehem la'am divrei techachas. It means a person who gives ear, who speaks audibly, speaks loud, and he makes known words of rebuke. Prophets were never really popular. Sometimes they try to kill them. Sometimes they did kill the prophets. The prophets always had unpopular messages. Zechariah, you're looking at me funny. Zechariah was murdered by his own fellow Jews. And his blood bubbled for hundreds of years. The prophets would never win an election. They never... Yeah. Yeah. The prophets, they never said what the people wanted to hear. Except the false prophets. The prophets said what the people needed to hear. Because God told them that's what they should say. And God cares about us more than we care about ourselves. And he sends a prophet, and the poor prophet has to go and bring this message, which is deeply unpopular, and it's not what the people want to hear. But it's the right thing, and in the end, it's good for them. And this is the job, the burden that the prophets carried. So the prophet's job, Rashi doesn't just say, is not just to be a spokesperson. There are many spokespeople. Spokespeople aren't always unpopular. But the spokesperson for God gets stuck with divrei techachas, with words of rebuke. Nobody wants their criticism. Nobody wants to get hit over the head. And this is Migizras Nivs Vasoyim. This comes from the root of movement of lips. That's where the word prophecy, Navi, comes from Niv. Niv means to move, the lips move. Or, for example, we have a pasuk in Mishlei where it says that the mouth of a righteous, the mouth of a tzaddik is Yonuv Chochma. It moves, it murmurs with wisdom. Or, Vayichal Mehisnaba is the Shmuel, where Shmuel finished speaking his words of prophecy. But there, really, it's not about prophecy. It's about Shmuel finished speaking. Shmuel Samuel had a message, and he finished speaking. And it uses the words, Mehisnabais. So Aaron Yeh Nevi'echa just means that Aaron will be the one to convey the messages. He'll be the spokesperson. And Pharaoh's not going to be very happy with what he has to say, which is why he gets called a Navi. Because the Navi, Rashi says, didn't just bring a message. He brought an unpopular message. Divrei Techachas. And Aaron is going to have things to say to Pharaoh, but not things that Pharaoh wants to hear. He's going to be speaking to the Pharaoh, and it will be at him and to him in a way that he is able to understand, even if he can't appreciate. And that's the job, the mission, the task of Moshe and of Aaron. So really and truly, we kind of explain these verses, that it is a bit of recapitulation, that's true. It's because we had a necessary interruption. And at this point, after we had a necessary interruption, we talked about the fact that Moshe and Aaron had the lineage and the backing that was necessary to be able to accomplish their mission, we had to go back to the original story. So the question is, why do we have to repeat the whole business of Moshe Rabbeinu being unwilling to do this? So the Ramban has a very interesting way of learning this. He says, originally Moshe Rabbeinu was under the impression that he was going to be leading a tribunal ahead of elders, and the elders would come, and everybody would pipe up. This would be a group making a petition. Moshe would be the coordinator, he'd move it along, but he wouldn't be the one speaking per se. And what happened is that the elders peeled off. By the time they got to the palace, there was nobody left besides Moshe V'Aaron. That didn't work. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, now, I thought they would speak and I'll be silent. Now I see they're not even showing up. So I have to speak and I can't speak because my lips are sealed.
So did the elders just get scared?
The elders were terrified. The Pharaoh was a terrifying figure. Terrifying. They turned back. So that's the Ramban's way of explaining the secondary issue or the question over here. Now, Ramban also says that the word Nasaticha Elohim Lefarei, like a God Lefarei, he says that just like God is beyond the imagination of a human being, Moshe will be beyond the imagination of Pharaoh. He won't be able to get him. He'll just be freaked out from this guy. It won't be like somebody feels like he's on the same, on par, on the same level. He'll look at him like God. He'll, out of this world. And, you know, the Balei HaTosfos point out something very interesting. This was natural for the Pharaoh, because the Pharaoh thought he was God. So the Pharaoh, who thought he was God, and he was trying to present himself, even though he knew the truth himself, he was trying to convince himself. Probably he bought some of his own baloney to some degree, but probably not entirely. But he tried to make himself very aloof. He tried to present himself. He tried to assume the persona of a God. He's not the first king who did this. Nimrod did this. And then he looks at Moshe and he says, this guy's really a God. He's not playing. He's really from a different world. He's an alien. He is not part of the fabric. He's different. And because that was Pharaoh's moxie, that was his whole way of looking at things, it was only natural that that's the approach. He would look at Moshe and say, no, I'm not a God. You're a God. You really are from a different place. The Ibn Ezra says that the word Elikim Kasantas mean a malach. So Moshe will be like a malach Elikim. Like if you get visited by an angel, usually it's not a comfortable experience. People will be pretty freaked out. An angel showed up. And this is the notion of how we understand Moshe being, so to speak, a god, and Aaron being his prophet. But there is actually a bigger and a basic question over here. And the bigger and basic question is not just the immediate repetition, what we read in verse 11 and 12, and now this seems to be repeated in verses 29 and 30. This whole business is like we've been here already, and the Torah repeated it twice, a second extra time. But actually, nothing changed. Moshe Rabbeinu said this in the very beginning. He said, I can't speak. I'm not a communicator. I can't do this. And God said, no, you have to do this. Aaron will speak for you. And then he goes, and he comes back to God, and he makes the same complaint. We dealt with this already. He's just repeating the same thing again. Page Kuf Chav Tes, Simen Yud. Psukim Elu Drushim Bir. These psukim really require elucidation. Harei kvar kaidim lachein. Already previously. B'tchilas shlichusei shel Moshe, in the very beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's mission. Ta'an Moshe klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu's stated claim, the reason that he sought to recuse himself was kvad peh v'kvad lashon anochi. I am heavy of speech, I'm heavy of words, I can't do this. It's not me. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu heishiv lei, and God responded, Aaron yeh lefeh. It doesn't matter that you're heavy of speech. Aaron will be your spokesperson. He'll speak on your behalf. Well, so Moshe Rabbeinu knows God doesn't accept that excuse. He wanted to recuse himself. God said, yeah, nice try. It's not going to work. Here's the strategy. You have a point. Here's a way to deal with it. Okay, so if you have a point and here's a way to deal with it, here's the simple question. Then for heaven's sake, why would Moshe Rabbeinu say the same thing expecting different results? As Einstein once said, the definition of insanity is doing exactly the same thing and expecting different results. By the way, by Einstein's yardstick, most people are insane because they do the same thing all the time and they expect different results, and it makes no sense. It's pure mishigas. But Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Shalom wasn't anything like that. And he knew when he came with this complaint that God didn't accept it. And God even gave him a strategy to deal with it. So what's the point? And if it's like Ramban said, that the Moshe Rabbeinu said, I thought others would speak. And then, in fact, they didn't speak. He should have said that. He should have said, God, I thought the elders would speak. That's why I agreed to this. They didn't speak. I'm stuck only now with one spokesperson. I was hoping to have 70 spokespeople. Forget it. I can't do this. He doesn't say that. In fact, he just says the same thing, like a broken record. God, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Here's how you can. God, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Here's how you can. What's the point? He makes the same complaints, he gets the same answers, and then the broken record shuts off and he just does it. So what changed? You made the complaint, you got the same answer. Ah, now you explained it to me. What did God explain to him? It's the same thing all over again. Yesh levayer. So the Rebbe gives us an incredible explanation here. That there is a hevdel, there is actually a difference bentainas meisha b'parsha shmeis. What Moshe said earlier in Parsha Shmeis, kvad peh v'kvad lashon anochi, when Moshe said, I am heavy of speech, heavy, I have a heavy tongue, it's different than what he says in our Parsha Va'era, where he says, hey, nari aras v'soyim. In other words, it's not a broken record. Moshe Rabbeinu said two different things. What was two different things? The Rebbe says, okay, let's look carefully. The words kvad peh v'kvad lashon. Literally, heavy mouth, heavy tongued. Pirush Rashi. Rashi, what does it mean to be heavy tongued? What does it mean to have a heavy mouth? It means, Rashi says, bekvedus ani medaber, with heaviness I speak. Just like something which is heavy is not agile, you can't move it easily, it's cumbersome, it's difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu said, speech is difficult for me. I don't communicate well. I can't speak well. I have a hard time getting my words out. Even in English, bekvedus, I have a hard time doing this. Kiloima, shahadibur efshiri. I can speak. I can do this, but I have a hard time doing it. But when it comes to our parsha, he says, aral svasayim. And here Rashi says, otum svasayim, which means closed. In English, my lips are sealed. First he said, I have a hard time speaking. Now he said, I can't speak. I realized, in other words, speech is something I don't have. I don't possess this ability. This, my friends, is Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint here. B'tchilo ha-yosavar, Moshe said, look, you said I should speak. I told you I have a really hard time doing this. You said, no, it's good. You're going to go, you'll speak. Aaron will be your spokesperson. It's going to be very fine. All right. Savor, I thought, she'eni ela kvad peh. I actually thought I overestimated. I thought I could do this, but it's hard. I have a hard time doing it. So if I have a hard time doing it, what's the solution? All right, then we have Aaron who's going to help out. I have Be'emtzos, Tzirufa, Shel Aaron. When you add Aaron to the mosaic mix, so Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, he has a hard time doing it. And Aaron jumps in and says the words that Moshe Rabbeinu is missing. And between the two of them, the message gets across. Let's try to think about this on a very literal level. So let's say Moshe stuttered or stammered. That's usually the way to say it. So Moshe Rabbeinu would show up and say, please listen to, and he can't get to, and Aaron says, to Moshe. And the Pharaoh says, okay. And he says, you have to say, and Aaron goes, send them. You send them free. Okay, between the two of them. So you have somebody who has a hard time speaking, and whenever he has a particularly difficult block getting a word out, your companion puts the word in. People do this all the time. People do it all the time when you have people that come to speak about something, and two people will come. Somebody will come with a friend because people are emotional, because people are upset, because people are frustrated, because people are inarticulate, because people aren't wise, whatever it is. Some potentially call that a lawyer. Sometimes even people pay people for that. But sometimes people just come with a friend to help when the words aren't clear. The friend knows just when to jump in and add the extra word. And that was the story with Moshe Rabbeinu. Or so he thought. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, fine. I got it. This is the answer. This is the strategy. Fine. Aval ata. Mishiboli de'akora she'aral svasayim. Moshe Rabbeinu came, and guess what he found out? He found out not only he has a hard time doing this. He can't do it. He realized his lips are sealed. Eini misugel adaber klaus, I can't speak. I thought I could speak with heaviness, with difficulty. I realize now, I got in front of the Pharaoh, I didn't even get a word out. I was just hammering and stammering. I didn't get a word out. I couldn't even speak. So he says, Matayelos, yes, Bahali Chosio, part of that. What is the point? If you went and said, Moshe, it's important you go. Sometimes you have a person who's very brilliant, is a great leader. He has the ability to bind the company, so to speak. He's the signing officer. He has to be there to represent. Okay, fine, but he's not a good speaker. Okay, but he has somebody who's a good speaker with him, and between the two of them, but it's important for him to be there. But then you have somebody who can't say a word. So what was the point of bringing me there?
Each company has a communication department, so that's exactly.
I understand the company has a communication department. I also understand that oftentimes you'll need an important meeting, the CEO who can bind the company to be at the meeting and maybe to say a few words as well. So to somebody who's very glib, very good at being the communications director, he knows the messaging, but it's important. Huh?
The closer.
The closer, right. So he needs to be there. Okay, fine. But then you have a certain person who speaks the languages. What should I be there for?
But in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu was really mamash pashut, unable to speak, or it was something else.
Moshe Rabbeinu felt that his words were worthless. He said, I didn't contribute anything to this whole exchange. I was just there like a fool. I was just like making noises. The fear of being in front of Pharaoh and it didn't work at all. It's not like I made a contribution. I got a message out to the Pharaoh. Aaron explained it a little bit better. I didn't serve a purpose. Just send Aaron and that's it. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted lechatchila. To begin with, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlachno be'ad tishlach, which according to one interpretation is send Aaron. You sent him last time, just send him this time. I can't even speak. I realize that this is a non-starter. I can't speak. So what did God answer? This is a really good taina. I have a hard time doing it. So, I remember many years ago, once we were in a shul, and somebody asked my father to lift the Torah. So my father said, it's hard for me. So the guy said back, it's hard for everybody. So my father then said, I can't do it. Oh, you can't. Right? I don't know if he hurt his back then or something. You can't do it. So hard? Hard is, you know, if somebody says it's hard for me, so give somebody easy. If somebody's hard for everybody, okay, it's hard, so you do it. Which I can't. The first time he said it's hard. The second time he said, I can't. So you thought this was a broken record until the Rebbe showed you, no, it's not a broken record, because look again. If you look at the words, there's a big difference in the first taina and second taina. In the earlier Pesukim, Moshe said, bikvedus, with heaviness. It's hard for me. The second time he said, sealed. I can't. Al kach onaleh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's God's answer? Ata tedaber. Oh, yes, you will. You will speak as kol asher tzaveka. You'll just speak over the prophecy. Omnam al pi derech hateva. You're right. By means of nature, hanachad al sosayim. You are indeed of sealed lips. You actually can't speak. Ve'eincha yochel ledaber. You can't speak. You're right. You said I can't. You're absolutely right. And that's the point. But I promise you, I'll give you the strength anyway. To fulfill this mission, and to speak in front of the Paroi. And this becomes the message. As the Rebbe explains elsewhere, when Moshe Rabbeinu reached a point of total self-abnegation, when Moshe Rabbeinu reached a level where he realized not only he had a hard time speaking, but he couldn't speak at all, God said, perfect. Now we've arrived. Now Yetzias Mitzrayim could start. Because otherwise, he would think, how did Yetzias Mitzrayim happen? Because Moshe is very smart. Because Moshe is very articulate. Because Moshe was fearsome. Now we found that Moshe can't speak at all. So then, what is his success going to be attributed to? Only to?
God.
Exactly. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a beautiful drasha from the Ran. I think it's drasha Hey or Vav. The Ran says, he asks a question, he says, why would God make the person whose job was to be the greatest communicator of all time, why would God give him a speech impediment? It almost doesn't make sense. Like, you gave a person a job, the job requires speaking, so you took away his speech. And the Ran's answer is, because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been a great speaker, then people would be able to say, anybody could have sold anybody a bill of goods. He was such a good speaker, so they listened to him. He was able to literally bewitch them with his words. But nobody could ever say that about Moshe. He couldn't even sell vacuum cleaners. He couldn't communicate. He couldn't get messages out. And if he could teach the Torah and the people could accept the Torah from him, it's definitely not due to his oratory or his glibness or articulative powers. So what must it be? It must be that it's Taka Hashem's Torah.
Isn't it the same with Pharaoh, as a matter of fact?
Well, it's the same with Pharaoh that what?
That like he didn't accept what Moshe said.
The Pharaoh doesn't accept what Moshe says, but God tells him. That's the ensuing verses. God said he's not going to accept it.
Yeah,
it's not because you're not doing your job.
Right.
And actually, this leads us into the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu would come and he would say, Eskol Asher Atzaveka. He'd actually speak in Hebrew. He didn't even make an attempt to speak to Pharaoh. He would literally repeat the prophecy that he heard from God. And for Pharaoh, it was like hearing it from God. What did that do? It's like a carpet bombing. It shook him up. And then after he was shaken up and shattered, then Aaron said a few words. And then the Pharaoh had to struggle. And he wanted to give in, but Hashem didn't let him. So against his own best interest, he said no. And then the process repeated itself again. But Moshe Rabbeinu would come in and simply say the words of Hashem, and there was some kind of larger-than-life effect at the words of Hashem, the prophecy that filtered through the persona of Moshe, which was like pellucid glass. It was like the words of Hashem. It wasn't adulterated with Moshe Rabbeinu's own coloring at all, in any way, shape, or form. It was literally the words of God before Pharaoh, and the words of God before the Pharaoh shook him up and made him what you would call in our language a keli, a vessel, to afterwards be able to listen to Aaron and to absorb the message. In which case he should have said yes, but God said he won't. And that's in order to increase my wonders, in order that Egypt will know, in order that the Jewish people will be glad of Mitzrayim in this wondrous way, as the ensuing verses speak of.
Still, interesting. We say that Moshe Eved Hashem,